Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk, the soccer podcast of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. I'm Tom Timmerman, beat writer covering St. Louis City SC for the Post-Dispatch. And sitting across from me virtually today is Beth O'Malley. Good day, Beth.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, we're not really sitting across from each other. We are doing this over Zoom and for various production purposes, not in person. So we might sound a little bit different this week. We won't be talking over each other as much because Zoom cuts out the other person when you talk over them. So, but we're still here. We're still doing the podcast, and that's
We
the
are.
most important part.
Yes. So here we are. Lot of things going on, or and in some ways, not many things going on. But the City SC coming off a 1-0 loss to Austin on Sunday afternoon, a rare Sunday afternoon game at Energizer Park. We haven't had a whole lot of day games. It seems obviously it's been a while because we haven't had one yet this year, but this had a different vibe, I think, there at Energizer Park.
Yeah, the flames don't work quite as well when it's not dark outside. And they
Yeah.
added extra flames today or today, Sunday. They added extra flames on Sunday. But I think part of the vibe was also, the weather. It was so humid and there were storms coming in. And sometimes in that type of atmosphere, like the ev everybody feels a bit discombobulated when it's that humid and that unsettled in the atmosphere anyway.
And we did get our first rain delay of the year. And I got to say, as I wrote in my story, maybe the best thing to happen to City SC in that game was the rain delay, because they played their best soccer after the rain delay, where
They
they had an
did.
hour to think about it and some lineup changes and make things happen. And that's when they were at their best. But this game really made you, I mean, look at this team offensively and wonder what it's going to take to make things happen, because it's a 1-0 loss, and we've seen 1-0 losses before, but this one seemed to resonate in a different way, to be kind of there were
Yeah.
only really two attacking players, in the starting lineup, and Marcel Hartl and Simon Becher. And then after that, it was a lot of building guys or whatever, it was, and they were way better on possession. Possession was really good, but there was making those last plays. They could get the ball into the box, or they would pass the ball into the box, but it seldom got to anybody. So I think their success rate on crosses into the box was like 16% or something. And there were like 30 crosses that led to two shots on goal. So it was just kind of bad all around, where they just couldn't take that step. And part of that, I think, was because there weren't the players to do it. I mean, Hartle and Bidger were kind of targets, and then the other people trying to make those plays just couldn't do them. And that's, with the lineup they had out there, that was kind of what you were going to get out of this team.
Yeah, the lineup had very little offensive power in it. And as you were saying, they would cross the ball into the box, and it was like the only people in the box were Austin players.
Yeah.
You would see the defensive St. Louis's defensive line was staying back, which of course is what you have to do to prevent a counter, but it was not looking great for chances on goal. And then the subs were made, and Pompeiu steps onto the field to a rousing ovation. Fans were thrilled to see him. He got a very warm welcome. And then a few minutes later, the rainout happened. And when that was over, Oestrakh and Klaus stepped onto the field as subs, and the game changed significantly.
Yeah, they started attacking. I mean, Pompeiu did what Pompeiu does. He was in the up the left wing, attacking there, getting the ball very deep as they got the ball the whole game. He's down towards the end line. So he and
He was
Conrad
taking
Bahlam.
on defenders in that one-on-one fashion that he does so well. It was a return to form for him. It was great to see him back on the field.
Yeah, and you can only hope that that inspires Milberg to say, you know what, we could play this guy more often. And because he hadn't, it was only his third game, but he was making things happen. Klaus didn't get a whole lot of touches, but he provided a target in the box, at least something more to aim for. But things were, Ostrock got the ball, got involved, and some of that was because, obviously, they needed a goal. You play differently; it's score effects, and in different game situations, you perform differently. But so they certainly were in more of an attacking mode at that point. But they showed the players who could attack, and I think it's players that you gotta, see. One of the problems that this team has is to make the defense better. Milburg is gone with the three center backs, either three or five on the back, depending on, if you got the left and the right wings. But what that has done is it has dropped another player into the back and had taken one out of the attack. And then when you had, in this game, Chris Durkin and Alfredo Morales, Durkin, the defensive midfielder, and Morales in Edward Lewin's role of being a playmaker, but he was almost like another defensive midfielder. I mean, it was like they had two sixes out there. So that just kind of really limited what they were going to get out of that position. So you had, five in the back and a goalie, that's six, and you had those two guys, that's eight, and that just only left you with three players at that point to really think about the attack. And so as the game went on and they made subs and they got more attacking players in, I think that helps, and it shows that more attacking players would be a good thing. But then, and you talked about on the video about how at the end Timo Baumgartel comes in the game and ends up playing forward, which is not Timo Baumgartel's position, though he gave it a game try to.
He really wanted that goal, you could tell.
I am sure he had to be thinking, I may never get this chance again.
Exactly.
And that gets to the point where in the roster for this game, they only suited up 19 players. You can suit up 20. They only had 19. And so they had, they left one vacant spot, on the bench. And we didn't get a chance to ask Melberg the motivation for why they did that. And we won't find that out until Thursday of this week. It's a coming off the Sunday game. It's a different rhythm to the city's schedule this week. But with the injuries they have, the availability of who else, but they have Mekhi Joyner and Caden Glover who are on the team, and they wouldn't have had to do anything. Brendan McSorley, you'd have had to sign him to a temporary contract. Emilia Askelainen, you'd have to find a foreign spot, an international spot for him. But Glover and Joyner, who are two homegrown, young, potential, bright talents for the future, you could have put them on that roster with no trouble at all. And if they had won, if they had wanted to put in a forward to attack even more late in the game, and now again, Baumgartel only came on because Jonas Horn pulls up with either cramps or a hamstring problem, which caused him to come out of the game. If he doesn't have that, maybe he plays out the game and there's not a need for another sub out there. But they did need one, and they didn't have a forward to bring out because they didn't put either of these guys. And it's free. It's free. You could put them on the
There's
roster.
no right. I am also curious what that explanation might be, because as you said, there's no contract reason not to. So I don't know. And the play was so different after that break, and with those subs that, would the play have changed as much without the weather break? I don't know, because the subs were the difference makers as well. So it was kind of a strange, as you said, it was a strange game. And then the poor city too, who were looking forward to an attendance bump from the double header. It rained, and then there was a loss, and everyone left. Not everyone, but it definitely was not the crowd booster that I think City 2 was hoping for.
I have been to a lot of City 2 games over these 4 years of the franchise. That was, I think, the worst City 2 crowd I had ever seen for a home game. Certainly on the road, they play before nobody all the time. But for a game at City Park, that was bad. But yeah, but it's not surprising. I mean, the game started an hour later than expected because of the rain. So if you were going to come for that game, you didn't know when to come. And for the people that had been there, they already had been there for an hour longer, and they'd sat through a storm, and they'd been there if they got to the stadium at noon, and it was now 5:30. It was like, I was going to stay for another 2 hours. I mean, that was a long, that was asking a lot, and so it was a bad break with the weather. But yeah, it ended up being really a there was nobody there. I say nobody. There were a couple hundred people there for that game, and that's what happens when it rains like that. That it
I mean, and luckily at the park it didn't get, there was lightning and thunder and certainly some wind, but it was not, I didn't see any hail, I didn't hear any, and I would assume we would hear it on that roof above our heads.
Yeah. So the question is going to be, City SC has now scored 4 goals in 6 games, 3 of which came in 1 game. They've been shut out in 4 of their 6 games, which last year, the entire 34-game season, they were shut out 8 times. So they are on pace to be shut out more than that this season.
And I think the team has now played enough games that this is capital A, capital P problem. This is something that is no longer, it's now
A
a trend, Tom,
full-fledged
and
trend,
a
yes.
full-fledged trend. And clearly, I'm about to say a very sports item. You can't win a game if you can't score. So this is a problem that has to be sorted out pretty quickly. Melberg has done a great job on the defense, but is the solution to the defensive problems gutting the offense? And that's something they have to find out.
And this game, they were shorthanded. Leuven with a red card suspension, Cedric Toyer out with a hamstring injury, and so those were two players that certainly would have benefited them, and three players who should be back. We don't, Leuven has also taken a personal time, and we're not sure what that is going to entail, for whether that was just he needed a week to visit somebody somewhere or do something. And we'll find out on Wednesday to see if he's back in practice. And Toyer, they seemed to, he was questionable. So it's not like, he was, so they're not thinking this is going to be a long-term problem, with Toyer. But
And you don't
you
have any update on other injuries, including Horn, who
Horn, who
came
left, Chris Durkin, who just got banged around in that game, and they almost had to like take him out of that game before it got any worse for him. But I mean, the number of times he got going for high balls, he took some beating there. And and Milberg suggested afterwards that Morales needed to come out. I think you saw him kind of limping there towards the end.
That was actually Horn. I was confused
He
about.
was about okay. But in any
Numbers
case,
that confuse me.
but in any case, Morales, there was Melberg raised concerns about him as well. So yeah, so that would be something if they didn't, if any or all of those guys were missing. And we should, and they're still without Rasmus Alm, who we still have not seen on the practice field. And so it was originally going to be like another month for him, but now it's we're now a month and a half, and he hasn't emerged at all from the training room. Like right now, like Jaden Reed has come out and is now doing some stuff, and he told me last week that it was going to be he was 3 weeks away from being back in practice, so he should now be 2 weeks away being back in practice. But I don't, when Jaden Reed is healthy, I don't think he's going to be going. He's like, what this team is missing is not Jaden Reed. Now, are they missing Rasmus Alm? Are they missing Cedric Toyer? Do they miss Edward Louvin? Yes, they're missing those guys because those are the attacking players. And I think Melberg has to And I put this question to Simon Boettcher after the game. Is it tough when there's so few attacking players out there? And he said basically, yes. Yes, it is. because it's coming down to, it came down to Hartle and Boettcher in that game until the subs came on. And so
Right.
they,
And
I think they've
if you
got to
have one
get.
of those two playing service, you only have one target in the box, and there's going to be way more defense than that.
So I think they've got to get another attacker in there. And does that mean you put Pompeu and he starts at the left back spot, and you go from there, just to get another body on the field? And then if you have him more advanced and Wollum in that spot, and because they had a very good combination going, getting the ball forward on the left side, just do you because when you've got like Kyle Hebert as one of your backs, well, that's good defensively. It just doesn't enhance the offense, and they've got to enhance the offense. They've got to. I mean, if you look at their XG totals, it's just not there.
No, it's really bad. They definitely ideally they will fix this problem before Saturday, because Saturday is a big derby game.
It is. What I've taken to calling the soccer capital derby, because it's two cities that like to think of themselves as the soccer capital of America. And certainly we've talked about this before. A much different look to this game, because for the first time in forever, Peter Vermes will not be the coach of Sporting KC. He got fired. They mutually parted ways on Monday. I think the Kansas City management, after 16 years, probably felt they owed it to Peter Vermes. And I think Peter Vermes, I think, realized he owed it to the fans to leave, because the past three seasons have not been great for this team. And this team is not looking good in the start of this season, where they've yet to win a game. And so, something was going to happen. And it, but though it did seem like, because Burmese also had the title of being sporting director for the club, that he wasn't going to fire himself. And that he would be the guy to do it. So they had to talk about it with him and say, look, something's got to happen. And so, but I mean, 16 years, and I mean, every game that they have played in that stadium has been with Peter Vermes as the head coach, and they've been in there for a long time.
And unfortunately, I don't think the fans are going to be sad to see him go. I saw the kind of the group of supporters groups wrote an open letter to the ownership, basically saying, fire him or else. And I don't know how much impact that would have had on the decision, but fans had gotten to a point where they said, no, this isn't working anymore.
Yeah, the owner of the team today said, I was aware of that, but I didn't read it, and it was going to happen anyway. So it didn't change things. But it speaks to the fact that, yeah, that the supporter base there said, look, this got to change. He's got to go, because the team is just not going anywhere. But Peter Vermes, and if for when Kansas City makes the claim that it is America's soccer capital, a lot of that credit, or St. Louisans may not want to give him credit, but a lot of that happened because of Peter Vermes. The MLS Cup and the Open Cups that they won, the four trophies they have, were because of Peter Vermes. He was the coach for those. He was also the sporting director for many, for I don't know if he was for all of them, or I mean, he put those teams together and made those teams, in the successful ones they were. And you got to tip your hat to management for sticking with a guy for so long, because that, as we've seen in St. Louis, coaching changes, can happen much more quickly than that. And so they stuck with him, and they stuck with him through thick and thin, and they got a lot of good things done there, and they built that club into really one of the, I think, one of the finer examples of what a club structure should be in MLS. And Peter Vermes, gets gets a lot of should get the credit for that because he was the guy that put it all together. So it'll be
Yep.
different. Carey Zavagnin, a former player there, will take over on an interim basis. We'll see what happens there. This is not the first time City SC has gone into a game facing a team that has just fired its coach. It did that very early on when Chicago fired its coach, and City then went out and lost to Chicago twice in the guy in Frank Lopez's first week on the job. Not a whole lot of guys still around who were through that, but certainly they've been through that. And
And you can almost always expect a post coach firing bump. The players seem to have their heads rattled a bit and put more focus into the game.
But what will be interesting to see, though, also is how City SC reacts because, Melberg has to. If you look at how this team finished last season, let me get those numbers here in front of me.
Okay.
But how they finished last season and how they started this season offensively is a huge difference. Because they were scoring goals at a good clip last season, and they obviously not scoring goals at a good clip. And it is the same guys. I mean, they're it's the offensive changes. This is the same, Troyer, Boettcher, Klaus, Hartl, Leuven, Durkin. I mean, it's the same guys. There are no changes there. And last year, they were getting results, and this year they're not. And the big difference is Olav Melberg. And obviously he's got a system that he's put in which is not producing. So here I've got, just look at the last six games of last year. We'll start from the end and go backwards in time. So a 1-4 loss, a 3-0 win, a 0-1 loss, a 3-1 win, a 2-1 win, and a 3-1 loss. So that's 4-7-9. That was 10 goals that they scored in the last four games of last season. And if you go just from the League's Cup break, 4, 6, 8, 9, 11, 14, 17, 18 goals in 9 games after League's Cup. All right. And right now this team has got 4 goals in 6 games. I mean, City scored 4 goals in 1 game last year, in that span. I mean, 4-4 tie with Portland right after League's Cup. And the offense took a step forward in this game. They were better on possession. They were better on getting forward and getting the ball kind of into dangerous areas. And then even Melberg admitted, you mean that last pass into the final third was not there, was not good.
But it
And
was not good, but often it wasn't good because there was no one there. I mean, it
they were
wasn't good
outnumbered
because
eight
they
to
were,
two or something in the
yeah. I mean, yes, they were turnovers, but there was nobody who was making that run. There was nobody who was, there was no crowd in the box at any point during that game, except maybe I think in like the 91st minute. And that's not when you want to have a crowd in the box. So.
And much of the offense worked the same way that it was they came down on either wing and then put it in, and they seldom came down the middle of the field. Or they weren't dribbling the ball into the box. That was one thing Pompeu did, was he would get the ball there and he would dribble it into the box and get it into dangerous positions where you could then make a pass and make something happen. I mean, half of their shots in that game and half of their expected goals in that game came in the last 23 minutes after the rain delay. So that's what they got to do again. And they got to do it on the road, which big,
They have to
you
do it on
should
the
be able to do
road.
that at home.
Doing that at home does seem easier. You have the crowd behind you, but they're doing it on the road in Kansas City. So, the team fans travel well to Kansas City. There's a feeling of, it's a big game. They players always want to say that all the games are big games, but this is a big game. It's a rivalry match, and so hopefully we'll see the fire and the drive that drove the team in that last 20 minutes during the entire 90 this time.
Yeah, they've got some work cut out for them.
Yes.
because it if you're to appeal to the fan base of this team right now, this is not a team that is appealing to the fan base of this team. I don't think that the fans are going, gosh, sign me up for more of this, for more of not scoring goals, which they just aren't doing, and which we've kind of gotten used to. And it's not like this was a, I mean, that was the one thing we thought going into this year. Scoring not going to be the problem. And it
Right.
turns out scoring is the problem.
Well, what is interesting, you mentioned the crowd, the fans at the park. Derek Gould pointed this out in his coverage of Monday's Cardinals game. There were actually more tickets sold for the City SC game than there were for Monday night's Cardinals game. And when you think about the Cardinals in this town and how the team just dominates the fan base and a lot of the culture of St. Louis and the identity of St. Louis, that's pretty amazing. And yes, the Cardinals are going through historic issues that we will not get into here because this is not a baseball podcast. But it was fascinating to me that the crowd at the Cardinals game was that small.
A friend of mine in Los Angeles had texted me yesterday saying, I see there are $3 tickets for the Cardinals to play the Angels. And I said, yeah, and it's and then I text him, look at this, 21,000 people, and it's the smallest ever. And they got an afternoon game on Wednesday. What's it going to be like with the weather forecast on Wednesday and a 12:15 start? I mean, who's going to that game? So anyway,
We'll have to see.
we shall. So yeah, so Kansas City is a chance for them to score some goals. It is a not good team that is not doing well, but does have a coaching change. But
And
if
we've seen City, even this week, Melberg said we need more possession. And they certainly did have that this game. Unfortunately, it didn't lead to any goals, but the team does seem to be responding as Melberg says, we need to do this. The team seems to respond to that directive. Problem is that Melberg now needs to say, okay, team, let's score goals instead of play defense.
And yeah, I mean they've got to find a way, and they've got to, and I don't know if if they have Toyard and Lubin back this week, that solves some roster issues right there. You don't have as many spots to fill because what that does with bodies. But
Right.
we remember before the game we were looking at the roster sheet and saying, almost all the subs are like defensive subs.
Yes.
I mean, if he wanted to put in, offense, there were limited options to put in offense, and basically it was Ostrak, Pompeo, and Klaus were it. And so, having Caden Glover or having Mekhi Joyner there, I think would have been a good thing to have. And even, I think there are lessons for them to learn also just by watching the game. I mean, for training. That's the thing. Those guys haven't trained with City SC. And I don't know, a few times, they have to, this week, especially with injuries, they have to bring up some City 2 guys to practice with them to make the numbers work out so that they have enough guys. But they don't bring in Glover or Joyner. We've seen Cam Cilley, at practice more than we've seen Caden Glover. Or, and more than we've seen Mekhi Joyner. And maybe it's okay, we're looking for someone that, that plays Cam Cilley's, position. And so
Right.
that's what we need. But I just, I think they, and I'm not advocating saying that playing Mekhi Joyner or Caden Glover solves this team's problems, because it doesn't. I mean, Joyner is a exciting player who I think at some point in time will solve problems if he continues developing the way he is, but I think it would also help his development to get that chance,
Right.
because those guys have trained with City 2 all year long. We have not seen them often with the first team. So, but that I think it would have been a 88th minute of a game. Jonas Hornn comes off. being able to put in a legitimate attacking player might have been an option there. On the other hand, I mean, Timo Baumgartel is, I mean, it's nice to see Timo Baumgartel.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
mean he came on the field. I was kind of like, oh great, we get to see him play. And then I was like, but he's
it
not playing where he's gonna play. All right, well, we'll see where this goes.
Joachim Nielsen was back in the lineup, and so that was the his first start. And I thought we were going to see Baumgartel maybe started that, but they started Nielsen again. And actually, this is an intriguing thing about this club is the back line. I know you and I and some others talked about this before the game on Sunday. It's like teams love to have consistency on the back line, and you like to pick those guys, stick with them, and don't sub them out. And I, the three man, the three center backs routinely change. We saw Josh Yarrow starting and then Neal starting. So that was two of the three had changed. Hibbert went wide, Horn was wide. And so that's it's just, this kind of goes against standard coaching. And I guess, and Bellberger said he wants to be unpredictable, and this would qualify, I think, as unpredictable. It's an interesting situation. And I don't know how well guys are are training or whatever, but that's
Yeah, it's a very strange thing to see. As you were saying, that back line, you would expect it to be stable. I mean, it for a back line at least, to it, that sh those changes don't seem to be making many problems. Problem is as they try to advance up the field. So.
I mean, defense is still doing the thing. They still got have allowed two goals, one apiece, and the goals, I mean, they've limited chances. Austin did not. Now, I don't know how much Austin, once they got a goal, how much they were trying for more chances. I mean, Austin's like, we're up one nothing on the road. Let's just sit this one out. So what else do we need to talk about?
I think that's about it. And
Okay.
we're running out of time on the call thingy.
Ah, okay. Well, it's I can take a hint. Hey, well, anyway, thanks all for listening. We'll be back. We'll be back next week, but there'll be later developments this week, as with City's availability being later. So watch for that. And on Wednesday and Thursday, let's see what's going on. And then, yeah, a trip to Kansas City on the weekend, and we'll see how this plays out, and if the search for offense will finally bear fruit. Beth, thanks for sitting in. Thanks for running the show. And until next week, everybody, be seeing you.